Good to see you tonight in the Lord's house. Welcome. We're going to commence our service with number 427. If you're watching online and you're using our hymnal, My Hope is in the Lord. Let's stand as we worship. Let's come to the Lord now, please, in prayer. Father, as we have commenced our service tonight with this hymn of praise and personal testimony, we can say that our hope is in the Lord. We're thankful tonight that we know the truth and the reality of everlasting life in us now. That we have the witness of the Spirit, that we know, Lord, we're not under condemnation. To them who are in Christ Jesus, Lord, we pray that daily we will walk by the Spirit and not according to the flesh, for we are conquerors, more than conquerors, in Christ Jesus tonight. We're thankful for the hope that we have. And I pray, Lord, that we might walk each day and live in the light of the resurrected Christ, to live in the light of the ascended Redeemer, and to live in the great and glorious light of the promise that our Savior is coming back again. Father, I'm asking tonight that every believer here would be strengthened with might in the inner man, that all of us would learn what it means to die unto ourselves daily, so that we might live unto Christ. I pray, Lord, that where the devil would come to attack us and cause us to trip and stumble with some temptation, that we would resist the devil, that he would flee from us, that we would know the abiding power of the indwelling Spirit to live above this world, that we would not cave in or give in to the world and the flesh and the devil, not allow our members to become taken over, to submit ourselves to those things that are so hindering to our Christian testimony. Lord, we want to honor the Savior. We want to walk in the center of Your perfect and holy will. We desire to know that personal awakening and reviving. And so, Lord, these are not just vain or empty words we speak tonight in our praying, but they are based upon the Scripture. They're based upon the confidence and the promises that we have received in the Word. And therefore, Lord, as we stand firmly upon those promises, we expect, Lord, that they will be accomplished, answered in our lives. We say this not with any kind of brazen willpower, but Lord, we stand confidently upon the Word of the living God. And we would say, Lord, come and quench the spiritual thirst and the hunger that we have for the things of God. Make use of us, we ask. Bless us in our individual Christian walk. Bless every family that is here represented. Lord, answer the individual and personal and combined united prayers of families for unsaved loved ones. And Father, what about the combined praying of every believer associated with this fellowship? Lord, as we bombard the throne of grace, You have told us that if two of you shall on earth agree as touching a matter, a request, that we will have that which we desire of the Lord. So hear and answer our prayers. We have asked, Lord, for those who have very serious health needs. And Father, You've heard our prayers. Now we're looking to see the answers to be done abundantly, bountifully, Lord, for the honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in His name and on His merit that we ask these things, and therefore we come confidently and boldly to say, grant them to us for the honor and the extension of Christ's kingdom. Father, remember our land tonight. We stand in great need. As a nation, Lord, we have gone far away. Our leaders have rejected Your counsel. They have turned away from the Scriptures of truth. They have turned rather to the counsels of devils and demons. And Lord, we pray that where appropriate, You would rebuke them strongly. We pray that You would restrain them from their evil way. And oh God, have mercy upon their souls and break through with the light of grace, the light of Christ. Save our Prime Minister, we ask. Save the Premier of our province and the Mayor of our city. Lord, do a great work as we as believers across our nation unite in our praying for reviving, for deliverance, for protection, for safety. Bless every faithful minister of the gospel across our land. And Father, I pray that there would be the sound of abundance of spiritual rain. There would be the sound of newborn Christians crying out in prayer unto Thee. Lord, do what is impossible with us and with men, but not with our God. For we know, Lord, that all things are possible with You. Put Your hand upon our sister Serene tonight. Bless again our brother Ron. Remember those that we have prayed for throughout this whole week. Many were brought to the throne of grace. Lord, I cannot remember all of their names, in need of health and immediate intervention. Do remember one name, Lord. Remember Reverend Hutton, Kenneth Hutton. We pray for this young man, sick in hospital with COVID at this time. Lord, I pray that You would step in and rescue and heal, restore this man to full health and strength. We pray for Your ongoing safety and protection for all our elderly, every congregational member and friend. Lord, just cause us all to rejoice in joy, in the unity, the fellowship that we have, and let not the devil sow any seeds of disunity. Our Lord, keep us, we pray. Remember all of our churches and all of our ministers across our nation. Remember, please, Lord, our pulpits that are without pastors at this time, churches that are needing under shepherds. Remember each one of them. Hear us now tonight. We ask in the Savior's holy and precious name. Amen. Let's sing again, please, to the Lord's praise. Will your anchor hold? Number 421. Let's stand again. Reading tonight for our congregational scripture in Psalm 42. Psalm 42. The opening verse is an illustration. It's a word from nature. As the deer pants after the water brooks. Some commentators have indicated that this is an animal that has been wounded. And because the animal has been wounded, it is desperately seeking water. And so it will not stop. That's its one thought, its one goal, its one aspiration. Is to quench its thirst. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. We know the Lord will add his own blessing to his precious word as we have read tonight. It is good to see you in the evening service in the house of God. It is a blessing for us to come again by the grace and mercy of the Lord to his house. And while we have bodily health and strength, let's avail ourselves of every opportunity to come to meet with God's people, to sing his praises, to open his word, to be able to read and be edified from his truth. These are mighty blessings in our day, and we pray that we'll use them to the best of our ability. This past week, we enjoyed blessings from the Lord as ministers and elders met both in person in Indianapolis and via Zoom. And we thank God for the ministry of his word day by day and the times of prayer we had. And thank you for remembering us before the Lord. We felt the weight of your praying, and we appreciate very much as we sought the Lord for you, for many in our congregation, indeed individual churches and people within the congregation that have special needs. But there was also a burden to reach out beyond the local congregation and praying that God would expand our vision. He would bless our missionaries and open up new doors for mission works. And he would make use of all of us, every single church, every single believer within the congregations, because we want to see beyond just ourselves. We want to see that there is a greater ministry of the Church of Christ worldwide. And you know, when you begin to do a little bit of study and you touch the surface, scratch the surface of churches and mission works and the persecuted church across this world, you realize that it is so much greater than just who we are, a very little witness in the great scheme of the Church of Christ. And so may God expand our vision. May the Lord increase our hunger and our thirst after righteousness. And may he bless all of us in our works, in our mission fields, in the expansion of the ministry that God has placed within us. And of course, we were praying for the blessing of the Lord upon our seminary, upon the students, the young men that God has called to serve in our denomination. And we ask you to pray for each one of them and to see how God will yet use them, lead them to fill the pulpits that are vacant as young men are coming to the completion of their studies, and how they will be directed by the Lord. So we thank you all for your prayers. Let's continue in this very important ministry. This coming Wednesday, it is the prayer meeting and Bible study, and of course, normally we do meet for that purpose, but this Wednesday, we'll look forward to the Trinitarian Bible Society joining us. Whenever they are in the neighborhood, we are welcome them to be with us, and we have some special visitors that will be with us this coming Wednesday to represent the Trinitarian Bible Society, and they do have a digital presentation to bring, and then we want to remember them in our prayers. So that's 7:30 this coming Wednesday. Thursday night, our session and board will meet via Zoom at 6 and 7:30. And then please remember also on Saturday, our Connect Fellowship at 7 p.m. And if you haven't yet got a link for that, if you didn't get that email, then please speak to our brother Jonathan. He'll be sure to put you on that list to get that. A couple of advance announcements, and that has to do with the Ladies' Bible Study that will recommence on Thursday, October the 21st at 7 p.m. That's a Thursday night. And ladies, you're welcome to come. It will be also on Zoom to invite any neighbors or friends. Maybe you have friends in other fellowships. You would like to invite them along. And please spread the word to all of our other churches as well if you know folks connected there. Then the anniversary services in Port Hope will be held the last full week of October. Reverend Ryan McKee will be a visiting preacher from Northern Ireland. He'll be speaking on the subject of the seven churches of Asia. Each night he'll be dealing with a different one of those, and I trust you'll be blessed if you're able to go along to those services. And we're looking also to our brother to be with us at the Reformation services on October the 31st at the very end. Happy that Reverend and Mrs. Gallagher are back with us tonight. We enjoyed our brother's ministry this morning in the Bible classes, and also his ministry about feeding the lambs in the service today. At the door, Mrs. Gallagher, when I was speaking to her going out, she said that my tie looked like a Halloween tie. And I thought it was more like an autumn tie, so I felt so guilty I had to change it. So I changed my tie for tonight's service. But it really was an autumn tie. You know, it was looking very similar to our pumpkins that are down here. And she thought it looked a bit like a Halloween tie. So anyways, I hope no one was offended about that. I wasn't offended. I couldn't have been offended by a thing like that. We have a good bit of fun. It was no problem at all. We're looking forward to the times that the Lord has for us in our autumn and fall work. And we praise God for answered prayer in our school. And we continue to ask for your intercession for our school ministry, that the Lord would continue to help us in this particular area. If you would like to give an offering to the work here, the offering plate is on the table as you leave tonight. Of course, that's for the members and regular adherents of our ministry. And we thank you all for your faithful tithes and offerings. We're going to sing again now to the Lord's praise, number 478, Count Your Blessings, and remain seated while we sing. Thank you. Believer, is that not one of the greatest answers to times of melancholy, when the devil would keep our eyesight down toward our feet and he would make us think that all is gloomy? Remember that the sun is always shining. Even though the clouds are there, even when it is dark in our part of the world, the sun is always shining. Now, that is in a very temporal sense, because of our solar system, because of the world that God has created. But the Son of Righteousness, our Lord and Savior, His light is always radiant. His light is always illuminating. And so let us be hopeful and encouraged in that great truth, and to count the blessings that we have. Temporal, yes. But the spiritual blessings, they are far greater and far more enduring. Please turn with me now in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, we're reading from verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. We'll bow, please, in prayer. Father, we have been singing praise to your holy name tonight. We have prayed and sought for your blessing. We have read scriptures in Psalm 42 and now here in Hebrews 6. And Lord, our desire now is that every heart will be settled and still, that every one of us will receive handfuls in purpose, receiving feeding from the Word. Help us, Lord, tonight, I pray, to have hearing ears and understanding hearts. I pray, Lord, that at times where we have had to admit or ask that question, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" we would find the answer echoing back with great power: "Hope thou in God." Lord, strengthen us. Encourage us. Let us find our full confidence in the word, in the promise that has come from thy holy scripture. Bless us tonight, I pray. Help me to speak as the Lord's messenger in the word of God, to know the unction, the anointing from heaven, that fresh oil the psalmist talks of. Lord, for any who are unsaved tonight, we pray for their salvation. We ask that they would come to faith in Christ. Hear us, Lord. Bless us now, we ask, in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. I want you to think with me tonight, please, on this subject of our hope that is anchored in Christ. Our hope that is anchored in Christ. In Hebrews chapter 6, the apostle has been encouraging believers to go on with God. Well, that's an exhortation that every preacher would give to a congregation, to his people, at many different times in the course of ministry. How important it is for each one of us to go on with God, to be strengthened in our faith, to mature in our Christian walk. Well, that's what every one of us as God's people, we want in our life. No one wants to stay as an infant. No one wants to be a baby Christian. Everyone desires, at least on paper, to become strong as a soldier in Christ. But we do have to admit that our times of advancement or development in our Christian walk has at times been hindered. We've been held back. We have not gone on with the Lord the way we have certainly desired to do that. And we might be able to stop and say, okay, well, that was one reason why I didn't go on with the Lord, and there was another reason I can remember in my life, and yeah, that didn't help me at all. And we might begin to make a list as long as our arm, maybe longer, of reasons why we were stopped from growing in the Lord. We were stopped from advancing in our faith. Well, the Christians in Paul's day, the epistle to the Hebrews, it was something that was being dealt with there very strongly, because the apostle had to say to them, "I wanted to speak to you as those who were mature in the faith, but I'm sorry to say I have to speak to you as being children in the faith." That was not a good thing. Ah, believers, we look to our own hearts in this, don't we? We look to see where the Word of God will come with sometimes just a gentle pricking to our heart. The Lord wants to get our attention. He wants to get our spirits to advance, to grow in likeness of Jesus. That is indeed why we have been saved. That's why the Lord redeemed us, that we might take on the image of Christ. And so when we look to our Savior's perfect, holy image of love and grace and fulfilling the will of God absolutely, we say, "Lord, I want to be like that. I want to do the will of God from my heart. I don't want to sin against you. I want to say, Lord, use me completely for your kingdom, to advance that kingdom. I want, Lord, not to be where the psalmist was in Psalm 42 and have to scratch my head and ask the question, 'Why are you cast down, my soul, again?' Ah, but the answer comes back very swiftly. Do you know why? Because in Psalm 42, the psalmist knew the answer to his problem. It wasn't a question where he was wondering, but I wonder why I'm cast down again today. Why? There's no answer to this. No, he knew why. He knew the answer. As believer, you know the answer, and so do I. And so the answer is for us to come back to the God of our salvation, to come back to the promises that He has given to us in His holy word, to come back to the God of our hope. And when we come back to stand four square upon Him, well, we will find that there is help for us in every time of need. Those of us who testify of being in Jesus, saved by His grace, why, we know there must be evidence of growth in our spiritual life. If we're going to glorify God, if we're going to show a testimony of honoring Him, then there must be a rejecting of the ways of sin. There must be an acknowledgement of the areas in our life that must be crucified, the flesh, the old nature. And we're looking to the Lord to make us overcomers. Will there be setbacks in our life? Of course there will, and we know them. But it doesn't mean that we have to be satisfied or just resign ourselves. Well, I guess I'm just going to have to live a life of Christian setbacks. No, no, in no way. The Lord wants us to be walking and living in the victory of the resurrected Christ and of the fact that our Lord is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high and that He is praying for us now. He wants us to live in the light of the hope of the return of Christ Jesus to this world. This sinful world around us, it does not have hope. In fact, it is reeling in hopelessness. Look around you. You see the civil unrest, the political strife, the racial tension that is just boiling over at every juncture, the financial stress, the family disunity. Yeah, it's all around us. The murders, the crimes, the warfare in so many countries of this world today. And because we have the instant access to information, all of us might conclude we're closer to the last days than ever before. Well, in God's timetable, no doubt we are closer from the time of the New Testament, because they were the last days. Now we're in the last of the last days, we sometimes conclude. Friend, that's not a reason to despair. That is a reason whereby we have to hope. But we know that our hope is not in political leaders. We certainly know our hope is not in denomination. Our hope is not in government. Our hope is only to be found in our Lord and Savior. Because in God there is hope, but in self there is despair. Verse 19 of Hebrews 6 is the main verse I want us to hover over tonight. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. The picture the apostle uses here is of an anchor. It's describing something for us. And the anchor is describing the Christian's hope that is secured to Christ. And the illustration, it vividly captures for us in our minds, because we know the purpose of an anchor that's on a boat. And it might be something as simple as a fishing boat. And in that sense, you would have a very small anchor that is going to be measured in accordance to the size of that particular vessel. But then we also know that anchors are necessary on huge ocean liners. So the anchor is going to be sized according to the vessel. And the purpose of an anchor is that it will keep the vessel stable when it is not at a dock. So therefore, the vessel is out in the harbor, maybe out offshore. And the anchor, of course, must reach the bottom of the ocean. And it must take hold in order that the vessel itself will be able to be stable in the time of high winds. And of course, the purpose of that anchor gripped to the ground at the bottom is so that the vessel will not be blown against the rocks and lose all. In a spiritual sense, my friend, therefore, we see this picture that the anchor of our soul, it must hold against the most extreme conditions. For we cannot run the risk of our eternal soul being lost to the storm. Because, my dear friend, our soul is the most valuable thing that we possess. And therefore, we can't play games with it. We can't have doubts about our soul's security. And the Scripture has told us, no, friend, we have eternal security. We have hope that goes beyond this life. And our hope is in our Lord Jesus Christ. Secure. Why? Because He has entered within the veil. He has gone into the holy place, that place which was forbidden for a man to go in except once a year with the high priest with blood of the sacrificial animal. I mentioned to you recently that it's believed that the high priest had a rope tied around his ankle. And that rope went outside of the holy place so that if something went wrong and he was stricken dead, they could pull the body out from that holy place. It was a fearful thing. And that curtain that covered the holy place, it was giving a message: do not enter. That way has not been permitted for you to come in. And so that high priest would go and make atonement. And as long as they could hear the bells on the very hem of the garment of the high priest, as long as the people could hear those bells, they knew that there was movement going on in the holy place, and he was doing the work that he was committed to do. But our great high priest, he has gone into that holy place in glory. He has gone beyond that veil, and he has made atonement for you and for me. And that atonement which he has made on our account, it means that we are now set free. No condemnation now is upon us. We are free in Christ from the wrath that was upon us. And my dear friends, tonight we have hope in Jesus. And that hope is not something that is uncertain. It is not wishful thinking. It is a hope that is certain and sure knowledge. Not because I say it tonight, not because I have some dreamy idea of what this means. No, Our hope is fastened in the Word of God. Our hope is stable upon the promises of the Lord. Our hope is fastened in our great Redeemer. Tonight, my friend, you can therefore face all of the issues that come against us, because the chain of faith given by God to us, the chain of faith is attached to the anchor of hope. And that chain of faith is connected to our God in heaven, because our salvation is not of our good works, but it is by faith. And that not of works, it is the gift of God. There's no boasting. We have been given that gift of faith, and it's from the Lord, and therefore we stand upon it tonight. Therefore, I want you to notice tonight some things that we will learn from this. In the first place, therefore, we can face the fierce storms that beat against our soul. What are some of the fierce storms that beat against our souls? There is the storm of false doctrine that beats against the Christian's life. Many have attacked the Church of the Lord Jesus with doctrines that appear to be real, but they are in reality the doctrines of devils. They are counterfeit. Now, we know that if someone is going to put forward a counterfeit money, it's going to be very, very much like the real thing. And so false doctrine, those tenets that are put forward by those who are against Christ, Antichrist, those false doctrines, they are convincing in many respects. They can be. And it only goes to show and teach us that we as believers need great discernment. In the early New Testament days, there were false apostles. Peter warns of that. There were false teachers in his day. And they came putting forward doctrines that came as light, but they were really inspired by darkness. Is that not true of how the apostle warned to the Corinthians, "Beware, for the devil as an angel of light comes forward with his preachers of righteousness," and they put forward doctrines, not that are going to be, "Oh, this is of the devil." No, they say, "This is of light, this is of truth, this is of righteousness and Jesus." And they come propending another Christ. The Lord says, "Beware of such things. Be on your guard of such things. Do not give in to them." The doctrine of Gnosticism was one of the early New Testament false doctrines. It really ultimately, virtually taught that you could come to a knowledge of God by increasing your knowledge. So the more you learned, the more you were educated, the more knowledge you had, well, that was really the pathway to God. But of course, ultimately what that was a religion of works. Because the more you worked at your knowledge, the more you gained, the more intellectualism you acquired, it lifted you to a higher level, therefore you were closer to God, therefore the Lord accepted you. It was a false way of salvation. John's gospel, from the very commencement of it, really addressed that false doctrine of Gnosticism. So right at the beginning of the New Testament, there was an attack against God's children, an attack that opened the door for many other false teachings. You will notice that in church history, many of the false doctrines, they find their root in the attack of the Son of God and of His deity. They come to try to dethrone Jesus from being who He is, the Son of God and God the Son. And so as they attack His deity, the devil tries to undermine it in just a very simple way. And it will come across something like this, that Jesus Christ is very much like the Father. He's almost exactly like the Father. But He's not equal to the Father. He is not deity. Oh, He's like a created God. He is a made God by the Father. So yeah, He's God, but He's not the same essence of the Father. And that slight variation brought in a huge attack against the deity of Jesus. And it wasn't until the 4th century when really it came out to be concluded by the church as a whole that indeed that was not just a false doctrine, but a serious attack against the person of Jesus Christ. And so a man like Athanasius came to the forefront and stood up and said, if the world be against Athanasius, then Athanasius is against the world, because he was prepared to stand upon that truth that Jesus Christ is not just like the Father, He is equal to the Father in the essence of His eternality, being all-knowing, being unchangeable. One commentator wrote this. He said, whatever tends to the keeping us in the right faith, in spite of gusts of error, must be characterized as an anchor of the soul, enabling us to stand firm against the incursions of heresy. So, whether you're in the New Testament time dealing with the heresy of Gnosticism, or whether you fast forward by a couple of thousand years and we're dealing with the cults of our day that equally attack the deity of our Lord Jesus, or the work that He has done, saying something to do with the atoning value and purpose of Christ's merit. Yes, it will always be focused on our Savior. And friends, when we think about the storm of false doctrine that comes against the vessel of our spiritual life, our soul, we must be on our guard. We must be certain that the anchor of hope is firmly grounded in the Savior. Well, there's another attack that will come against us. The attack of fake news. There's a word for us as believers. Beware of gullibility. The internet has become for many the go-to place for all knowledge and all truth. Helpful for many things, because we have all taken up the saying, oh, well, you could always just Google that and find out what the answer is. And very oftentimes it might come up with the right answer and a helpful thing. But it does not and is not absolute authority. And oftentimes can be full of bogus fake news items. It can lead people astray. It can lead them into scams. It can lead them into all kinds of shady thinking. But the scams of our day, my dear friends, they're not limited to the internet. We also have news agencies that are all around us that promote their own political or social bias, and they write with such convincing arguments, smooth words. And the convincing arguments that they put forward on the surface, it seems to be logically reasonable. And sadly, maybe as Christians, we can be deceived by some of these things. And therefore, we must pray. We must pray for much discernment. We need to know how to interpret the issues of our day and to see the hand of God in our time. We need to be men of understanding and understanding of the times in which we are living in. And for this, my dear brothers and sisters, we must have discernment, but we also must have firmly fastened the hope anchored in Christ by the chain of faith, so that the vessel of our lives will not be blown against the rocks and we suffer much harm. But what about the storm of fiery temptations? The storm of fiery temptations. One of the prayers that came out this week in our presbytery by one of the ministers was an open heart prayer to the Lord, praying about the seminary students, that God would keep them from sin, keep them from fiery temptations. Why would that prayer be made for ministerial students? Because as they are beginning their ministry of serving the Lord in the highest calling that God can give to any man, the calling to the ministry, the devil has his crosshairs on their back, and he has them as a target. And there will be every attempt made by the wicked one to see them stumble and fall into sin before they have even got on the starting grid, virtually. And that's why it was a good prayer. It was a heart prayer that was sought and prayed to the Lord for His governing and protecting hand to be upon our young student ministers. Because the temptations are so aggressive. The devil is so aggressive in our day. We think of the internet, don't we? We think of the benefit that it can be for so many ways of accessing knowledge, getting at things you want to find, helpful information. But we all know of the great dangers that are within a click or two away. And so that's why, as the prayer was made for our ministerial students, but we don't stop there, do we? Is that not a viable prayer for all of us to be praying for ourselves? For each one to be praying for one another in this fellowship? That God will keep us from the fiery temptations that are against us? Oh, my brother and sister in the Lord, don't pass these things by and say, well, that applies to somebody else, but it doesn't apply to me. No, absolutely not. We are all in a place of danger. This is a storm that is against us continually, and it's pounding against the ship, the vessel of our Christian life. And if you're not careful, if you're not watching, one of those waves will be like a tsunami, and it will hit the side of your vessel, and it will nearly capsize it. And you need to be turning your vessel into the wind, so that the bow is facing the wind head on. I'm praying much that God will protect you personally, to protect your family, protect our congregation, our young people. Every mature and senior Christian needs to take to heart praying for the youth of our fellowship, praying for the youth of our denomination, praying for a ministry, a simple ministry like the Connect Group, that it will be of benefit, of help, to bring together our young people. Praying for our youth Bible class. Every ministry that we're engaged with our young people. But again, believer, let us all beware. Young, medium, or old. Every one of us must be cautious, must be careful. And don't think that we would not be sideswiped or overturned by this fierce storm. What is the answer to the storm of temptation? It is, my friends, very firmly realizing that the hope that we have in Christ, that hope for our soul salvation and our deliverance from all the storms of life, it is grounded in the Lord, and our lifeline, the anchor of faith, is firmly connected. And there's one final storm I leave with you tonight. It's this one, the storm of fair weather. I think, well, that's kind of a contradiction in terms, isn't it? Because you don't have a storm if you have fair weather. Fair weather is fair weather. Well, if you have done any research or studying in something called a doldrum, it is for the sailor a greater fear than a storm. Because in the doldrum is a time where there is no wind at all. And it's deathly still. And in the doldrum of a sailor's time, certainly in days where they did not have motors to power them, when they were depending on the wind to get the sail to move them in the direction that they were going, the doldrum was a place of great danger. And there are accounts given where vessels were found when all the sailors on board were dead. Because they had used all their food supplies, they'd used all their fresh water, everything that they had in their resources was gone because the vessel didn't move. It just stayed there for months on end, stuck in the doldrum. They couldn't get out. My friends, there is a danger for the believer in our vessel of our life to be caught in a doldrum, because even though the wind might not be moving, still there are currents that are at work that can take us farther and farther away from our destination than closer to it. Do we not have to beware and pray that God will protect us from that danger as we realize the anchor of our soul must be firmly grounded in our Savior? We learned something else tonight, too, from this text. And we learned that we have an unbending confidence that is given to us in the hope. You'll notice in verse 18, it says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Now, you'll notice in verse 19 that the word hope is in italics, which means the translators have put it in as a helping word because it's drawing the context together. So we have hope set before us, and the hope set before us is a strong consolation. And then the apostle goes on to say, it's an anchor to our souls. And so what we have in the Lord tonight is an unbending confidence. It's a strong consolation, and the word is, it's a mighty comfort. The word consolation here is paraklesis, the word for comforter. And it means to lay hold of, to seize the hope that is set before us as an anchor of the soul. both sure and steadfast, within the veil, secured to our Lord Jesus. Consolation, the same word that is used here for the Holy Spirit, is a blessed truth for us to dwell on, because the great Comforter is the Spirit that dwells within us. And the Spirit that abides within us is the very one that reveals the Lord Jesus to us, reveals the promises of God, writes the promises on our minds, enables us to pray those promises, enables us to see that our hope is secure. We have tonight, we possess this without any doubt, without any misgivings, without any wondering. We have strong consolation because our great high priest has entered within the veil. He has gone in to the heavenly sanctuary. He has offered his blood. He has made atonement for us. He has taken his own precious blood, the sacrifice of himself on the cross. And he has offered it for the sins of his people. He's offered it tonight, my friends, for my sins. He has offered it for your sins. And what does this do for sinners saved by grace? It gives to me security. It gives to me refuge. I have eternal security. I have eternal refuge. I know that the anchor for my soul, the hope that has been given to me by the Spirit of God, it is secure in the Lord. I have eternal security. And that, of course, spills over into temporal security. And I say that for a reason. So many of us as Christians, we have come to the point of trusting the Lord with our eternal soul. In fact, I would say that most of you here have no doubts about your salvation. And you have learned the things of God. You've depended and trusted on His promises. And so you know that when you die, you have hope for eternity. That's a blessed thing. Ah, but friend, is it not though true that we sometimes have difficulty trusting in the Lord in temporal things? We have difficulty trusting that the Lord will take care of us, that we will be able to rest in Him in all of the storms that are blowing against us. Sometimes we become fearful and wonder, Lord, am I going to make it through? Why have you allowed this storm? Because this is a very interesting thing. I know much of the fire and the storm that comes against us, but God allows these things in a Christian's life. Because a sailor does not become proficient on calm seas. He only becomes a seasoned veteran by going through the storms. And that's why the Lord allows us to go through these things. He teaches us that our eyesight by faith must be upon the living God for temporal things. In this life we will trust in the Lord, and we will know the angel of the Lord is encamping round about them that fear Him. The Lord Jesus is walking on the water when we are in the midst of the storms of life, just like He did for His disciples. Let us see Him and let us wait upon Him. And one final thought with you tonight is that we persevere patiently to the end. Well, that's a big mouthful, persevering patiently. Because sometimes we feel we're not persevering very well at all, and we're certainly not very patient about the matter. We persevere impatiently, don't we, more times? We just say, okay, I'm going to have to knuckle down and get through this somehow. But that's not what the Bible says here. The Lord tells us in verse 15 of the context of what we have read, he speaks about Abraham receiving the promise. And what does he do? In verse 15, we're told that after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. He obtained the fulfillment of the promise. He obtained the full reception of that promise. And he was patiently enduring. And believer, this is a test and an evidence of our faith and our walk in the Lord. Believer, you're going through some pretty serious trial right now, a trial of your faith. And your vessel is being pounded by the waves. Where is your anchor? Is your anchor just drifting? Or is it secured in the rock of your salvation? Because if so, then God will give you the grace to patiently endure. And it doesn't mean that you won't have times of wondering, where is the sun? It's not shining. We have to almost jettison everything overboard because we don't think we're going to make it through. But the Lord will see you through, believer, because you are His chosen vessel. You are His by sovereign decree. You're His by sovereign election. You're His by His Spirit who has brought you to faith in Christ. And you are His through every storm of life. And He is the one who is going to bring you through. So therefore, patiently endure. A man called W.C. Martin wrote a hymn that's in our hymnal. We have never sung it before, to my knowledge. And the title is, My Anchor Holds. I read the second verse for you. Mighty tides about me sweep. Perils lurk within the deep. Angry clouds overshade the sky. And the tempest rises high. Still I stand the tempest shock. For my anchor grips the rock. And that is a blessed hope for us tonight, friends. And so as we think about this and rest on the truth of these words in the Scripture, well, it gives us confidence to go forward, confidence in the work of God. It gives us a holy assurance that the job will be completed. We will complete the task that God has determined for us. In fact, He will perfect that which concerns us. And you know what it gives to us? It gives us motivation to go on, that we will glorify Him and that we will not be defeated. For indeed, in Christ we cannot be defeated, for we have an everlasting hope that is certain and sure within the veil. For the anchor, our hope is secure in the Lord Jesus. Let's bow in prayer. Friends, as our heads are bowed tonight and our eyes are closed, it may be that the Lord has spoken to your heart. Maybe He has touched a nerve of your spiritual need to come to faith in Jesus. Where you are seated, here or at home, you can pray now. You can confess your sin. You can call upon the Lord to save you. Maybe, friend, you're here tonight and you have to acknowledge you're not walking with God the way you should. You're backslidden. You've seen brighter days, but now is a rather dark day. It's time to get back right with the Lord again. It's time. And I encourage you tonight, don't delay, don't wait. The Lord will be gracious to hear your prayer and to receive again and restore the years that the locusts of sin have eaten, the years that you've drifted astray, come sometimes very dangerously near the rocks and the shoals. Father, I pray this evening that you would work through your word by the Spirit's power to do what we cannot do. Lord, we are simply the messengers. We depend everything on the Spirit to both convict and convert and to restore. We pray that tonight, Father, that you would do that. So part us in your fear with your rich and mighty blessing. We ask all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.